Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the last hour of the War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Joining me today is Andrew F. Bronca. You can follow him on X at the
time. In a week and a half, President Trump has come out and viciously attacked myself and other prominent people that have warned about the Iran war being a total disaster, which has been proven to be. He calls me a low IQ loser and all the rest of this stuff. We can have a go. Now I'm fired. And he endorses the Democrat Party lawfare against me that the CIA and DOJ ran publicly, and that the same groups that targeted him ran the Paul Weiss law firm that did a $40 million settlement with him last year and admitted to criminal activity. So he's now siding with the actual criminals. But let's talk about the bigger issue first here. Trump had a 56 approval rating 8 months ago when Doge was roaring and Elon was there and all the rest of it. Now he's got a 33. He's lost 80% of his support in independents. The Republicans are going to lose the midterms massively coming up in just 7 months. And even Susie Wiles has told him that and told the press all that this needs to stop. But he doesn't care. He is committing political suicide for our own movement. And he's turning against all the major pillars of the movement, blocking RFK Jr., trying to get rid of the poison shots all of a sudden, giving total liability protection to deadly glyphosate, Roundup. He goes on and on. So I don't support this new Trump. But this isn't about his attack on me. It's about the craziness of this when, even on his own Truth Social and in polls, it is wildly unpopular. And he has all these neocon sycophants that were his enemies and never Trumpers praising him and saying how great he is and that we all need to be arrested because we work for Qatar. Well, I sure as hell don't. So here's where we are right now, ladies and gentlemen. We are at a crossroads, and Trump is committing political suicide. Use the Japanese term, seppuku. No one who has any brain cells can deny that fact. And as I said when this war started back on March 1st, it came out 5 days before that the intelligence agencies in the Pentagon gave him a report saying 90% chance this fails. Israel's lying to you. Iran's not about to attack us with a nuclear weapon. But he went with Netanyahu's lies and his Mossad chief's lies, who said the war could be won in 4 days and then Iran would fall. Now here we are into this almost, a month and a half or more. We've been proven right. I'm a loyal American. I supported MAGA because so much good was done to pair the Democrats. This is a new Trump. And it's so unhinged. He's the guy that had all these countless bankruptcies for casinos and hotels and, basically he's pump and dumps. But then he looks at me that was shut down by $1.5 billion judgment. They've tried to shut me down. That was totally rigged. And now he's siding with the people that attacked him against myself and others. So this is the new Trump. He can't be this stupid. He's made some deal with the globalists up above it. No doubt the Rothschilds are his biggest bankers. That's on record. They're the financiers of most of his properties. Not the Russians, the Rothschilds out of the UK. And he's sabotaging the midterms. This is a deal. He's not this stupid. And watch what happens in 7 months with the midterms. That is the facts. But, he's all saying, I'm fired. Fired from what? I'm not ever needing access to Trump. I don't, at the end of the day, care about what Trump thinks about me. I wanted Trump to be good. I wanted his policy to be good and not turn against what he stood for. But I'll tell you this, we are shutting down May 30th because the Texas receiver is cutting off, the satellites and everything. We have the Alex Jones Network, Ed AGN Live on X, right here at Real Alex Jones, on Rumble. Same radio stations will pick it up. All of it. We'll have a new site we're announced very soon. People will find us. We'll continue on. Truth is, our numbers are bigger than ever. What we're saying is popular. 80%+ of Americans are against ground troops, 70%+ against this war. Trump is not out of touch, though. He is run by the Israel lobby. I knew they influenced him before, but it's just a fact now. They brag about it. And that's where we are. And so we shouldn't have foreign powers running our country, our foreign policy, our domestic policy. It's just so sick. And I told Trump, if he keeps attacking his base, I don't want to attack him, but we have to because it's so crazy what he's doing and it fits into the larger picture. So I'll be filing some detailed reports here in the next few days on all of this. Look for more right here on Real Alex Jones on X and the Alex Jones Show here on Rumble. Be sure to follow us here and just God bless you all. Let's pray for President Trump to hopefully wake up, but I don't think that's going to happen. We have to continue to promote nationalism, conservatism, Christian basic freedom, constitutional government, free market capitalism, and support the great work of Elon Musk and others and the good Republicans. that are out there that are absolutely horrified by this. I talked to a lot of people in the cabinet, in the government. They're all completely freaked out. That's how I get a lot of information, trying to get Trump back on track. Charlie Kirk thanked me for trying to stop the last Iran war. But back in June of last year, no one was going to lead to this. He thanked me for pressuring Trump publicly to release the Epstein stuff because that was the right thing to do. Plus, it's unpopular not to. That is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. And so people are trying to make this a popularity contest. Ooh, the president said you're not cool, you're crying. No, I'm crying over Trump destroying MAGA and really derailing our America First agenda. But it's okay. He just rode in on this wave. We'll keep fighting. There's a global awakening. The tide is turning against the tyrants. And that's just the facts. So we'll continue to fight here as I've done for 32 years, and I'll continue to stand up for Team Humanity. Thank you so much, and God bless you all.
And beg Iran for help that Iran cannot provide them. They're begging Iran, please let the Chinese ships through the Strait of Hormuz. Iran doesn't control the Strait of Hormuz anymore. There's other players in the game now that control which merchant ships come through those waters. It's not up to Iran. China had ambassadors meeting with Maduro the day Maduro was nabbed out of Venezuela. Excuse me. And what did they do about that? Nothing. They did nothing. Now, their other great oil supplier, Iran, is effectively neutralized and being not so slowly degraded by the United States military. And what's China doing about that? Nothing. They're doing nothing because I don't think they have any practicable options for what they could do that wouldn't make the situation worse for them.
Yeah, see, as I'm looking forward, I'm like, I don't see the situation getting better for anybody. Because, I mean, we're so tied in with China economically anyway. I mean, any damage we're doing to them, we're also experiencing. Europe is also experiencing this damage, right? I mean, what would be the positive outcome?
Well, who cares about Europe?
Well,
I don't care about Europe.
Well, no,
I mean, for sure, Europe gets a lot of trade through the Strait of Hormuz. China gets an enormous share of trade through the Strait of Hormuz. So, and we get a little bit. Yeah, we're going to take some hits off this too. But the hits that China is taking are orders of magnitude greater than we'll be taking. America, for example, we float on oil. If you look at an oil map of the United States, it's almost everywhere under the country. That's not China. China is the negative photograph of that. They have no oil. They've already announced that, they do refine oil, crude that they import, and then they'll export the refined gasoline and diesel. They stopped that. They stopped all exportation of any refined products. They're keeping it for themselves. They have maybe a couple of weeks of, normal supply, then a couple of weeks of kind of half operational supply, and then they're out of oil.
Yeah, that's going to get – it's. I mean, things are going to get crazy pretty quick, right? Like, how long can this, conflict in the Strait of Hormuz even be shut down and the world economy not enter into a catastrophic death spiral? Again, I see what you're saying. I get exactly what you're saying. I think you're right when it comes to the calculus. China has a much shorter, tolerance they're able to expend. But, I mean – are we just burning down the world economy? Like, how much harder is it going to be to restart all of this? Because, I mean, Qatar is shutting down all of their liquid natural gas production. They're shutting down factories that take, 12 months to restart again. So, I mean, is this worth it? Or, I mean, how's that calculus play out if so much damage is being done to so many industries in so many countries? Is China really suffering that much that it makes it all worth it?
Does it make it all worth it? Does it make it worth it not to have the boot of China on the world's neck anymore? I mean, I don't know. There's nothing that comes without risk, right? This could go completely bad. The entire world economy could freeze up. We could have a Great Depression on a global scale. That's all possible here. But there is no victory without risk. And Trump is the president who's taking these risks. The risks are real, but it's almost like if your family's threatened by some bad actor, so you pull out a gun and you say, stay back, I'm prepared to defend myself and my family. You don't really want to have to kill that guy. You hope it doesn't get to that point. You're hoping presenting the gun will give him a clearer view of what his practical options are and that he'll choose wisely. I think that's what Trump is doing. Now, is it possible you might have to shoot that guy? Is it possible he might pull out a gun and shoot you? That's all possible. But what's the alternative? Is the alternative not to defend yourself and your family? I don't think that's – I think that's what all the presidents preceding Trump for my entire political life have been doing. And where's that gotten us? I don't think it's improved America's situation. I think it's improved China's situation.
Well, yeah, China has certainly, benefited from American foreign policy over the last several decades, which, again, is to me the frustrating part of, even if all this stuff is predicated on our opposition to China, it's like, well, you're the people that sold us out to China over the last 70 years. So, you know, this is sort of causing the problem and then providing the solution. So what would be an ideal outcome, do you think, for Trump? Because as far as I can tell, it looks like we're going for just straight up like failed state in Iran. We don't have anybody ready to take it over. Maybe the Kurds will take a section. I mean, but we're just talking factionalism, chaos. I mean, is that a positive outcome for the Trump administration? I guess that would put a damper on the Belt and Road operation. But again, at what cost? What do you think the question is, what do you think the best outcome would be from Trump's point of view?
Well, I mean, we may see the Kurds take some territory of Iran. I certainly wouldn't have any objection to that. A degraded Iran, I think, is largely in America's interest. We don't want it to implode. I don't think that's in anybody's interest. But the son of the former Shah is, there's a real challenge in Iran, right? So it's been run by this theocracy for decades. It's not like there's a recent outcast normal government that could just step in and take over. Right. The people who would be the apparently obvious alternatives to the theocracy, they've never run a government. They've never been judges. They've never been legislators. They've never been any of the things you need to function a government. Now, they did release some statements in the last few weeks saying, hey, we've been spending years working with experts to basically plan out how to run a government. We've been training. We've been practicing for that. And if that's the case, they may be able to step in with some foundational backing of America and put something together that looks like a working government. I don't know. That's one of the risks that we take. But is it better than having the apocalyptical theocracy? I mean, if there's no question, I think, in anybody's mind that if Iran got nuclear weapons, they would use them. They believe the future lies in an apocalypse from which their religious salvation comes. It's very difficult to sit back and say, well, let's let them get the nukes and see what happens.
See, I think I have a different view of this because it seems to me like our motivation is largely apocalyptical, and the way that Lindsey Graham and, I mean, all of the leadership in America, certainly the evangelical leadership, and of course you have, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu and all the Israelis talking about Purim and, you know, the rebuilding of the temple. Now we've got, you know, the temple patches on the Israeli soldiers' arms. I mean, that all is about apocalypse and Armageddon. So, I mean, I don't know. To me, it seems like the Israeli side is the one that is driving us towards some sort of prophesied, great last battle. I guess they can be partners in this, right?
I mean, Israel has nukes, right? America has nukes. I mean, if we wanted to start a nuclear war for apocalyptic purposes, we're free to do that. We haven't done that.
We have not done that yet. I don't know. What do you think the odds are that we move in that direction? I mean, I'm just trying to play out like where this goes from here. I can't help but see a Vietnam style quagmire sunk cost fallacy at a certain point. Again, I don't see what we're doing in Iran as being part of a wider strategically valid operation going on. It seems like we're flying by the seat of our pants and kind of retroactively trying to justify it by invoking prophecies and the apocalypse. So again, I would kind of rather have a government that you could negotiate with in Iran than just a chaos of murdering ethnic tribes, right?
But could we negotiate with the theocracy? I mean, my sense is we've been trying to do that for decades without much effect.
Well, we did have deals before, and again, it seems like they were willing to meet us when it came to nukes, but then we wanted them to give up their ballistic missiles. I mean, if I was them, I wouldn't give up my ballistic missiles because from their perspective, it's very much the same, right? The idea of somebody breaks into your house with a gun to kill your family. I mean, they're also looking at somebody holding a gun to them. So, where do you think this goes from here? Because again, I'm just seeing visions of Ukraine 2.0, Vietnam 2.0. I mean, this is a disaster as far as I'm concerned.
Well, were they willing to meet us on nukes? I mean, that's not my sense from the reporting. My sense is just days before these combative activities began, they were telling our representatives, American representatives, no, we're still determined to have a nuclear bomb. We even offered them non-nuclear grade fissionable material for energy purposes. And they said, no, that's not good enough. We're going to have a nuclear bomb. That's we're determined to have that. Well, so I don't think that's kind of meeting us in the middle.
Well, I'm not sure what the final, you know, well, obviously the final outcome of the talks was that they failed. But, you know, there'd been differing reports about what had been decided. But we'd scheduled another, you know, round of talks in Geneva, right? So, you know, we were talking with them, and it appears as though we were making progress in one way or another. Tehran is ready for nuclear concessions if U.S. meets demands, Iranian officials say. So, again, you know, to me, it's like, all right, here are these people that were at least willing to talk to us that we'd had an agreement with back in 2015 that they had been sticking to as far as the observers from the IAEA had recognized. So, again, I just don't see how this benefits America at the end of the day. Maybe it hurts China, but I just see this as going to be – it's going to be another trillion-dollar dune boggle, right? I mean, what's the positive outcome here?
Well, the positive outcome would be we have a rational government in Iran. Now, whether or not we get there remains to be seen. I don't see this as anything like the Vietnam morass or even the prior Gulf War morasses. We're not landing troops. We're not attempting to make them into a democracy ourselves. I mean, the way Marco Rubio talks about it, it would be great if they went that way, but that's going to be for them to have to do. In Vietnam, it was the whole environment was different. The weapons we could bring to bear were different. The enemy was in a jungle. It was very difficult. They had no real infrastructure to attack. Now in Iran, the moment they fire a missile, the infrared signals detected from space, and we're dropping GPS bombs on those locations within seconds of things being fired. So we're able to degrade Iran's military and ability in a way we were never able to practically do in Vietnam. So it's a completely different scenario from that perspective. Listen, if we start landing troops to occupy Iran, I'll be the first person to say that's going to be a hellscape, and we should absolutely not be doing that. I would favor impeaching any president who would do that, including Trump, but I don't see that happening. So that's not a major concern of mine.
Well, then, but don't we have to land troops? I mean, the only other option is bombing campaigns, aerial raids, and they've been doing that in Gaza. Gaza is a 25-mile square, you know, landlocked open-air prison, and they still haven't defeated Hamas. So yeah, when you talk about Iran, when you're talking about 90 million people, area the size two times of Texas, I mean, it's not jungles, but it's equally as difficult terrain, right? So, but we can't...
Yeah, I don't think you can claim victory over a territory from the air. I don't think that's possible. As you say, we haven't done it in Hamas either. But what you can do from the air is degrade that political nation state to a degree that it's no longer an imminent threat to your own nation. Hamas doesn't have nukes. I think we can prevent Iran from having that too. And hopefully prime an environment in which rational people will take over the governance of that nation state of Iran. But in the meantime, they're not becoming increasingly closer to being an existential threat to the United States.
See, I just don't know if I haven't seen any evidence that they're, you know, an existential threat to the United States. I've seen that they're an existential threat to Israel, maybe. But I mean, where do you think that dividing line is? It seems to me like the thing that we're getting here is freedom of action.
I mean, they shout death to America at every opportunity, right? I mean, they proclaim it.
Yes.
They don't proclaim peaceful intentions to America. They're quite the opposite.
I would too if I was them.
Well, I understand. I listen, from their moral position, maybe that's an appropriate thing to shout is death to America. But as an American, I'm very concerned about people who shout that they're advocating for my death securing nuclear weapons. That, to me, as an American, that's a bad plan.
See, I guess I'm more concerned about not doing the thing that makes us enemies overseas. Because, again, like how would it come about that a rational, you know, freedom-loving power structure takes over Iran? I mean, that's just not going to happen. I mean, I guess that could happen in Gaza too, but like, it's not gonna. So why?
Well, I don't care if it's freedom loving. I just care that it's not a threat to my nation. Mm-hmm. If it's going to be a dictatorship that's not a threat to America, well, that's fine. They can govern themselves as they think best. I'll leave that up to them. I don't think they need to fly the American flag and have bald eagles and do all that kind of stuff. I just want them not to be a threat to my nation. However they organize themselves consistent with that mandate is up to them.
Okay, I mean, I feel like they're a bigger threat to our nation now than they were last week around this time, right?
I would say no. I mean, their Air Force is obliterated, their Navy's obliterated, their nuclear capability as it was developing is obliterated. I don't think they're stronger now than they were a week ago.
Well, no, not that they're stronger, that America is under. I mean, a week ago, we still had our base in Bahrain, right? So again, it's like starting this conflict, starting this fight just doesn't seem well advised to me. It seems like we were talking with them. I don't think they were an imminent threat. I mean, none of their missiles can hit us. They could potentially, you know, get nuclear weapons. I don't know if that's been degraded at this point. It seems like the best way to prevent them from getting nuclear weapons is to get them to agree to the IAEA inspections. So, you know, to keep a handle on their operations. But obviously, that's not going to happen anytime soon. It seems like the belligerence with which we approach this issue has made the whole thing, you know, untenable and significantly more dangerous.
And I understand your perspective. And a lot of people obviously agree with that perspective. My view is just different. I don't see us as having provoked this confrontation with Iran. That's just not my view of events. Maybe it's just because I'm a substantially older guy than you are. But I remember when Iran took our hostages in 1979. I remember the decade after decade after decade, and Iran either directly or through proxies attacking American interests. This has been a fight that's been ongoing for many, many, many years. It's not something that just happened. We have a different president now. And the president decided, listen, we've been talking for a while. You have to judge people by their actions more than their words. He lost confidence that they were speaking with us, negotiating with us in good faith. He believed they were increasingly becoming a threat that would be impossible to practically defeat. In a year or so, he decided to act now. I don't think that's an insane decision. We can disagree with the policy. We can disagree with how we view Iran and its relationships with America and what we think might have happened if we'd gone a different way. But I don't see this as an insane policy position for the president to have taken. Very aggressive, for sure.
Well, yeah, and I would like to see some, you know, more well-explained outcome of this, like desired outcome, because so far, I haven't seen anything expressed that could be like, here's what we want. I mean, at least when we went to Iraq, it was like, we're going to bring them democracy. It was stupid. I was against it then. Right. But at least it was an excuse. Andrew Branca is my guest. More on the other side. I'm really enjoying this conversation. You don't get a lot of back and forths like this about these very contentious topics, but he's a very smart guy. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric. Supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.